Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It's everything I dreamed of.
I don't want to tell my dad that I love him.
I still don't know what just happened.
I'm just so grateful. Just so grateful for the opportunity to play this game.
The legacy is not what you give people, it's what you put inside people, and also what they put inside of me.
Hey everyone, welcome to Beyond the Locker Room with Maria. Maria Prekjee's here with Trevor. I'm not there. I'm in sunny Palm Desert again. I'm sorry to tell you, what's the temperature there in Ketchum?
I think it's eight degrees.
It's 55 here, high of 75. Oops. Let's get right to it because I was so stressed out Saturday and Sunday. So let's get to it for Trevor's take.
Right.
Okay. So you and I were texting on Sunday. We'll get to that. Let's go in order of the playoff games. All decided in the last second, except the last game we'll talk about. That was last second. All on field goals. And okay, Cincinnati, Tennessee, the poor Tennessee quarterback at the end threw that interception. Shouldn't have thrown it. That's all I got to say about that game. You go.
I think Joe Burrow is awesome. And he's showing that he's a winner. I think that's cool. Cincinnati's getting all, like, they have something to root for because the Reds are terrible. And finally, 31 years, they're in the they're in a playoff game that matters. I mean, there's like, in town, there's like Cincinnati fans coming out of the woodwork too. You're like, who are you?
Yeah.
Dressing up like a tiger.
Well, and I love it that Joe said in the post-game interview that the field goal kicker was on the sidelines talking to someone else. And he looked at him and he, before he went out and kicked it, he goes, well, it looks like we're going to the playoffs. You know, it looks like we're playing next week. He was so casual. And is he a rookie? McPherson? Is that
his name? I think so. Yeah.
The confidence in him and the whole team and Joe Burrow. Yeah. He's pretty cool. I think I love him. I think it's great. I'm not going to dress up like a tiger right now because they're not my team. But
yeah, I have a problem rooting for the Bengals. I have an ex-girlfriend that's from Cincinnati. We don't like those people. I mean, they're really nice, but the other problem is the person that we'll get to later, but the person that they're playing to on the other side of the ball is really good. That Patrick Mahomes guy.
Yeah. So that's going to be a close one. But anyway, and then San Francisco, Green Bay. I love all the tweets are like, go Jimmy Garoppolo. He's great. And he's hot from all the women. And I mean, the look on Aaron Rodgers' face at the end, he'll probably still get the MVP.
I saw him. He made a comment yesterday that was on the internet. That was like, the only reason that people were rooting against me was because of my vaccination status. And I was like, well, what about all the people from Chicago that hate the Packers and just hate you? Not about your status.
I don't think he's coming back. And he just wasn't, you know, San Francisco got a couple lucky, not lucky, you know, a couple turnovers and they made it happen.
Their defense played well. And like, it was almost like the Packers couldn't play in the Packers cold. It's like, what are you doing?
I know. You know,
I mean, they couldn't. And like, and did you see the kicker was still practicing kicking when they were introducing the Packers players?
Yeah.
Like they were like in the way and he was still practicing. I mean, like, that's dedication right there. That's why, I don't know. Bad karma comes back and it'll get you. And now he's 0-4 against the 49ers in playoff games.
Yeah, well,
and then Jimmy G is 9-2 where he doesn't throw a touchdown, and 7-0 this year without throwing a touchdown. That's like, what an awesome stat to have.
Yeah,
you're like, oh, it's cool, guys. I haven't thrown a touchdown. Of course, we're gonna win.
Love
it. It's amazing.
I was just like, good for San Francisco, good for Cincinnati on Saturday's game.
Also, there were also ripping Jimmy G about like, oh, is he a quarterback that can win? Is he this person that he's good? It's like, clearly he is good. They're still winning. He can throw he's throwing the ball to Kittle. He's handing the ball off. He's the starter. He's the key to the offense. He's got to start that ignition and get that car driving. And it's just like, I mean, they're kind of remind me of when the Eagles won the Super Bowl in 2017 because Wentz got hurt and they were the underdogs and they were always wearing the dog masks.
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, it's like no one believe. Like, even me, I've been pumping the 49ers tires for the last like 6 to 7 weeks, and I'm still like not believing. And I bet against them. I bet a dollar with a guy against him because he was a little lit, and he's like, he hated Aaron Rodgers too. That's why he wanted to.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of people. And you know what, Aaron Rodgers, it's not just his vaccination status, which, you know, some of these pro athletes, I mean, 97% of them have gotten it and they're fine.
It's just, yeah, it's his attitude, man.
Yeah.
It's attitude. This
year, yeah, not a fan. I can't even believe State Farm is still using him on the commercials, but.
Oh, they have to probably.
Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah. What, like, Rodgers, what is his next go? Like, they say that, like, his best move would be to stay because that's probably where he's going to win a Super Bowl, like, the best chances. You know, you leave for another team, you got to learn a new system, you got to get players, you know.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens to him. And then what happens to this other guy called Tom Brady, the Rams, Tampa Bay. I mean, I love it. They were down by a lot, Tampa Bay. And Tom Brady just comes back.
Were you, I was at work, so I didn't watch, but I watched most of the game.
Yeah, I love seeing your mouth.
I was cooking, you know, you look up, flip a burger, you're like, yeah. And so I'm like, God, the Rams are just, they're going to do it. And then right before the halftime, they fumble right after I say that. And I look at Nils and I'm like, you guess what? I am single-handedly jinxing Tom Brady and the Bucks into the next round. And then I, you know, it comes back out, they start winning. And then I'm like, oh my God, oh my, I have seen this movie so many times with Tom Brady. Like, I mean, how many games have you seen it where he's down and he comes back? I mean, like, what, 25 plus games like that?
Well, yeah.
It's just so amazing to watch him. And you feel the players start to ride the momentum wave too. And like, he calls him at 5 a.m. He's like, you guys ready to win a Super Bowl this year? You're like, yeah, I guess I am. You know? Well, it's like having, yeah.
He's so classy. He was like, I'm going to take some time. I'm going to, you know, talk to my family. They're number one. You know, where Aaron Rodgers is just like, well, I got to figure this out. I don't know. It's just even in the tone of the voice. And that's just Aaron me being Rodgers, uber critical because he's a great quarterback. But Tom Aaron Brady's Rodgers a little classier.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, I heard somebody say on ESPN, they're like, I wouldn't talk to him now because he just lost. He had a long season. And of course, he's probably thinking about not playing. You need to talk to him like right before training camp and be like, hey, what's up? You want to play? He's like, yeah, I'm going to play. And then Aaron Rodgers doesn't have a family that he talks to. It's all about him.
He didn't mention his fiance once. I'm assuming they're still engaged. So that game was stressful on Sunday. And then, absolutely. And I didn't even care who won. And then Buffalo.
Well, then like, oh yeah, Cooper Kupp coming off those two catches, just like at the end of the, Casey, we'll talk about that later. But yeah, Cooper Kupp came up huge in those catches to get him into field goal position. I mean, like you said, is it the weekend of the kicker?
It was totally the weekend of the kicker because then Buffalo, Kansas City. Okay. This game was crazy. People have been talking about it all week, but I was sitting here in this condo by myself, jumping up and down. I was texting you. You're like, you're a dork. I'm like, yes, I am. We know this. But 2 minutes, I had the stats here somewhere. In the last 2 minutes,
at least three touchdowns.
Yeah.
Maybe four. So I was like this yet. Like that game was so amazing. So like every drive that the team had, like, had they won on that drive, that would have been an all-time drive. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, they went down and got ahead. Mahomes, you're like, whoa, that was amazing. There's only 2 minutes left. Can they do it? Boom. Josh Allen. Boom. They go ahead. Then Mahomes is like, boom. Another all-time drive. And then Josh Allen, with a minute left, boom, all the way down, gets another. He scores again. And then you're like, was it 13 seconds or 17 seconds?
13 seconds left.
And then there's all this stipulation, like, should they squib kick it to get the clock going? And then like, yeah, they probably should have, but like, I mean, like Freddie next door at the auto shop, he always says, you can always bet on the horse after the race. And I love that saying because it's so true.
That's awesome.
Like all the haters come out of the woodwork. They're like, oh yeah, they should have done this. And I mean like the announcers, oh my God, Maria. Can you believe it? They had 13 seconds. They had 13. I'm like, like Tony Romo, like,
oh, he was going crazy.
I mean,
he's like, now there's 23 seconds to change your life. I wrote it down while I was watching the game because I am a dork. They were just, and yeah, the armchair quarterbacks and all the analysts, you know, Rex Ryan was like, that's not how you coach 13 seconds. You do not kick it into the end zone when you have Patrick Mahomes on the other side. But
you just got to get, I think it's just, you have to get that clock going, right?
Yeah.
But still, like, did you see Jason Kelce, your boyfriend?
Travis, yes. Kelce, sorry,
his brother was at the game that plays the Eagles. He was cheering huge with his mom in the stands.
No, I love that his mom went to both games the weekend before we talked about that. And now she's going to another. I love Kelce.
Patrick Mahomes' wife, like, sprayed everybody with champagne. She's getting a big hard time about that.
Yeah. I think it might be fiance, or is he actually married? Anyway, she was spraying people. Yeah. And then I was like, really?
My take with that is, hey, why don't you spray yourself with champagne and then spray people? Okay. Because I am not one to get, like, I'd be mad about that. People are like, oh, I can't believe you're getting mad. It's like, listen, I personally, if I were at an Eagles game and I got hit, I wouldn't probably care that much. But I'd be upset. If you've ever been sprayed with champagne, it's like not cool. It's not like, oh, sweet, now I've got champagne all over me, I'm so happy, you know.
But the end of that game was nuts. So now let's go right into
Travis Kelce at the line was like, if I have the inside seam.
Yeah.
So he called that play. And then he also told Tariq Hill that he just go outside and he blocked for him. So those two plays, like, that's crazy. Great, great athlete. Great guy. He got kicked off his college team. Awesome.
I did not know.
Yeah, he played for Cincinnati. Cincinnati Bearcat. And his brother talked him into get back on the team. I think he played quarterback too.
Oh, that's funny.
Weird. No, yeah, isn't that weird?
It was great. And then overtime, the toss goes to Kansas City.
And this, I got a big star on this one now.
Yeah, I think so. College, I like the college rules. They each start at 25. And then they said, you know, after so many tries, the athletes are so tired. They don't want injuries. So they have all those crazy rules in college, but each team gets an equal opportunity.
Yeah. It's like after five, NFL. they have to go for two in college, right? So like after five tries, they're forced to go for two, which I think is amazing too.
But yeah, I don't think the NFL is going to change it, but I think we should.
So I don't know. I just feel like that was such an epic game and kind of like, there will be like the rule is the rule. And I get that. That's how it is. And Kansas, there's nobody's going to stop any of those quarterbacks from scoring a touchdown. We saw that the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's, you were praying for a field goal and that just wasn't going to happen. Like, I texted my buddy, I'm like, this game's over. As soon when they won that, the coin toss, they were acting like they already won.
Yeah. Well, when you have Patrick Mahomes, you know.
And I'm like, poor Josh Allen, dude. Poor Josh Allen. Poor Buffalo.
They did a great job, but I mean, it just, that was the most, this whole weekend was the most exciting weekend in football that anyone's seen anytime. That's what,
That was the craziest game I've ever seen in my entire life. Next to the Eagles winning the Super Bowl. That's, I texted you that too.
I know. You were like, well, and for this next weekend, first time in 12 years that a conference title game will not feature Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady. You texted me that. 12 years.
Yeah. That's crazy. It's like we're getting spoiled now.
Yeah.
We don't have to deal with them. I'm excited. So, I like the Bengals. I don't think they have a chance beating Kansas City. But Kansas City's like so good. Like who wins a game with 13 seconds left and ties it up? It's like, what? They went like 60 yards. It's like, what the hell?
No, I love that. The whole weekend was crazy. And then everyone's like, and who says field goal kickers aren't part of the team? It's like, yeah, they either get all the glory if they do it or none. But this next week, Cincinnati and KC, yeah, I think KC's going to do it. And then San Francisco Rams, I think the Rams are going to win. My prediction is Kansas City with the Rams in the Super Bowl, but
I kind of hope that's the case. I just don't think that San Francisco has enough firepower. So I'm jinxing them to the Super Bowl right now.
You are.
I am.
What about, let's go back to your notes. First off, are there 8 teams or 9 as of this morning? It's Wednesday morning that don't have a coach.
I think 9.
Well, it was 9 when I was going for a walk yesterday. And then all of a sudden they said 8. I'm like, no, I think it's 9.
Well, I mean, it could be 10 with McCarthy and hot water. And they said that, like, so first off, Sean Payton has, like, he's like 2 years on his contract, I guess. But he's done coaching. They're saying that Doug Peterson might go there, as long as some other fellows. But I like Doug Peterson because he won a Super Bowl in Philly. But they're saying that Jerry Jones might be behind the Sean Payton deal, and somehow he might be coaching the Dallas Cowboys in 2024 after his contract is up. So we'll see.
Huh.
Something to think about.
Well, Sean Payton was so gracious in his statement. I was listening to that.
Did you see he bought that the owner a present, parting gift?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, it was cool.
Total classy guy. I love it. He went to Cabo and did nothing for 2 weeks and just, you know, had to think of stuff. But do you think, I mean, it was probably a really hard decision. Like you said, a lot of coaches aren't in his position where they can leave instead of getting fired. Most coaches get fired when they leave. He was in a unique position because it was his choice. And I love that the owner, Mrs. B, she's like, just come back, take the summer off, you know, take a few months off, come back in training camp. He's like, well, sounds pretty good, but I can't.
But, and he said he wants to get into to media. I think he'd be great. I liked how he's like, well, how do you like your job? She's like, I hate it. Or, you know, just said something like that. She's like, you're going to be just like me. You know what? Okay, so I got a couple things here. We'll talk about what's the other playoff game?
The San NFC, Francisco, LA. Yeah,
so we're going LA. I think LA is probably going to win that.
I think so.
And I think that Beckham's been playing really well. He's proven that he is a receiver that can, you know, actually play. Stafford has cleaned up his turnover messes, as it seems. I think Sean McVay is like using plays that he runs it on first down every time, so he doesn't have to throw it. So he's like kind of taking down the numbers. So it's almost as if he can't throw an interception, you know? So he's cleaning up the quarterback position. I think that's going to really help him. Their defense is looking really good too.
Well, and Sean McVay brought him there to win the Super Bowl.
Exactly. And it just, once I saw somebody say on the internet, I was like, just showing what, Detroit, how truly trash they are.
I know.
It's like, ouch.
Someone's like, go Lions the other day. John texted me in a group text. He's like, go Lions. I go, oh my Lord.
Yeah, they won their last two games. That's huge.
Yeah. But I think he's going to do. I think Patrick Mahomes is a better quarterback.
I hate to say it, but
it should be good. Both games should be good.
If I had it my way, I'd like to see the Bengals win and then lose in the Super Bowl.
Because of your ex-girlfriend.
No. No.
Your ex-girlfriend. Because
I like L.A. so much more.
Okay, what else is on your list?
I got Carson Wentz. They're pretty upset with him in Indianapolis just from reading the Twitter. They just think he's trash. And now they're losing a couple people, I think. And they're like, if Frank Reich can't fix him, like they said it was a Philadelphia problem. And I was like, okay, so like, what's this guy's deal? And they have to pay him like $22 million next year. So it's like, do you just get rid of him now? And they lost the first round pick and a second round pick. So we'll see. I think they keep him. I just don't think there's anybody else out there. And then, like, the owner was like, I wish I had Phil Rivers. You're like, ooh, ouch. And then, And then Mike Tomlin, Big Ben's done. And like, I heard them on ESPN too. They're like, you think Tom Brady's really going to retire? You think Big Ben's going to get a bigger retirement party than Tom Brady? Like, come on.
No.
Exactly not. So, Mike Tomlin, they're talking about like, are they going to draft a quarterback? Because, you know, like job security, if you have a good quarterback as a coach in the NFL, that's job security, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you got a quarterback, franchise quarterback. That's good for the coach. But he's like he's like a god there. You know?
Yeah.
Pittsburgh's a football town. Yeah. Yeah, you do.
I've stated that before. I like him.
Yeah. And I think that's about all I got here. Except for, you're not here. You're a warm.
I know. I'll be back next Wednesday and all of February. So here's a funny stat from when Casey played Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago on the big screen. On KC, because it was such a high scoring game. It said, sorry, we ran out of fireworks because I do fireworks after every touchdown.
That's funny.
You know me, I get all the weird stats. They ran out of fireworks a couple weeks ago. And they had to put it hilarious on the big screen. So sorry, we ran out because they scored so many.
Should have
points.
Just played Katy Perry's "You're a Firework."
Oh yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So another good weekend. I kind of go into depression after the Super Bowl. So another good weekend. I can't believe it's down to four. Four.
I know.
We're getting close.
I can't believe. I definitely lost $3 this weekend. Did I lose to you? Yeah, I have a $2 bill in the car for you. I lost. Yeah.
$2 bill.
I lost $2 to Nils and I lost $1 to Spider.
Oh my God.
All because I'm the smartest guy in the room, just like Dash.
You're a big better. Well, we'll have to do some fun bets for the Super Bowl for sure.
Oh, yeah. For your prop bets. Yes. You know what we should do? We should get $50 in ones and we'll go through and bet each other on the prop bets and we'll see how we do.
We could do that. I have $50 in one.
I most definitely do.
Well, coming up next, my friend HD, the voice, I work with him at the firefighter competitions. He played football and he is so into the playoffs. So I'm going to talk to him coming up. He might have a prediction or two as well and just how football has affected his life. And it's going to be very cool. So stay tuned and hit that subscribe button. And we'll see you next week. Enjoy playing, enjoy watching the football. Hey, everyone. I want to welcome my dear friend. I just still call you HD the voice because that's what you are.
Right.
Welcome to the podcast. You're starting your own podcast, which we want to tell people about in a little bit. But so first off, so good to see you. And you have a lot of jobs, but your main job is for the Firefighter Challenge.
Yes.
Tell everyone, and I work with you usually at Worlds, which is great. Tell everyone a little bit about that, and we'll give our brothers and sisters in that some love.
Well, you know, first, let me just say I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me on your podcast. I'm the announcer for the Firefighter Combat Challenge, now known as the Firefighter Challenge. I've been with them now for going on 4 seasons. And, you know, for those that don't know about the Firefighter Challenge, it's basically just an amazing event that, you know, allows firefighters to show how they get through the daily stress of their job, you know, how they physically get through it and do those things, perform those essential functions in order to save a life. And they've gotten so good at it that they've turned it into a sport. And I'm honored to be an announcer for it.
Well, and it's great because it's such a big competition and these firefighters are in, let me just say, I've seen a few shirtless ones, men and women who are just buffed.
Right.
And they do this to keep in shape for their job. And each part of the course represents things they do every day, which is great.
Yes.
From carrying Rescue Randy at 175 pounds that I can't even pick up. And here these women just pick them up and go crazy. So it's a great program that Dr. Paul Davis started years ago and you came on and the first couple of years were great. And then the pandemic hit. And I have to say the Firefighter Challenge really took all of that in and made, you know, they made lemonade out of lemons.
Yes, absolutely. It was, it was scary, you know, for one, you know, to have an event where you have people in such close proximity with, you know, athletes, with, you know, sponsors, with corporate sponsors, with everyone involved with the entire event. And those, you know, those first 2 years, that first year of COVID, that 2020, we got through the entire season and we didn't have any cases. You know, we were very big and still very big on just the sanitization of the course, you know, the adhering to all the social distancing. But even more so than that, what was so exciting about 2021, once we were able to get events booked and firefighters started coming out, it was the camaraderie that was necessary again. People miss that camaraderie. And, you know, I was excited. I was excited for, you know, to see what would happen year two. And, you know, it went off without a hitch. You know, we had a great, great year. Last year was a great year.
I know.
Congratulations to all those winners. Congratulations to all those winners who won, if they're watching. It was outstanding.
It's so much fun. I couldn't be there the last 2 years for Worlds, but hopefully this year, 2022 is our year, because announcing with you is so much fun. And you know these athletes inside and out, and you are an athlete, and we're going to talk about that in your football career. But it is amazing to watch these men and women, and even they, you know, they get sponsors out there to run the course and all this, and they call it the toughest 2 minutes in sports because it is.
Right. Right. Absolutely. It's, you know, speaking of sponsors, you know, just for example, you know, talking about like the St. Lucie team, the guys from St. Lucie, they're sponsored. They're one of the sponsored firefighter teams. And, you know, St. Lucie, Hobbs, New Mexico, just a countless others, you know, and it's a testament to show how those firefighters and what they're doing in their communities. You know, the fact that they can get those local businesses to buy into their team, to buy into their efforts. It's not just about being out there saving a life or, you know, stopping traffic, you know, and saving someone in an accident. It's really about showing people and showcasing them that these are our firefighters and we're proud of them. We're going to support them in their event. And I mean, you should have seen the St. Lucie guys at the very at Worlds. They all had matching hoodies. They had matching shirts and sweaters. And I mean, they were just, it was exciting. It was fun to watch.
Well, and I've seen a few, they've run some ex-pro football players on the course. And let me just tell you, it's hard. And you are an ex-football player. You've done training. How does the training differ from what you did in high school and collegiate football from what these guys do? I know a lot of the guys and girls do CrossFit, which is amazing,
yeah.
But it's a whole different ballgame.
It's definitely a whole different ballgame. You know, I can honestly say that, you know, CrossFit does prepare you from a cardiovascular standpoint for what the challenge is about to do to you, you know, because in all actuality, there's really nothing that can compare to just a flat out 2 to 4 minutes or 3 to 5 minutes of just going all out. There's nothing that you can train for. You can only try to prepare your lungs or in your muscles for as much as possible. But the one thing that I really like about the firefighter challenge, and I bring that back to football, is again the level of workouts that you need to do in order to sustain yourself. You'll find a lot of these firefighters, they'll be getting into rowing a lot. They're into CrossFit. They're into compound movements, things that is going to strengthen their core, is going to strengthen their ligaments, is going to strengthen them, you know, from top to bottom, because you're going to need that, you know, for you need the cardiovascular strength to run up those 5 flights of stairs. You need the inner strength. You need that back strength, that core strength to be able to hoist those hoses up those 5 flights of stairs. You need those legs. You need those big legs for Randy, that one, like you said, that 175-pound rescue mannequin. So any student athlete, you know, who's gone through some rigorous sports, you know, field hockey, and I'm talking to the ladies too. So whether it was soccer, field hockey, football, track and field, basketball, baseball, no matter what you went through some tough training. And the Firefighter Challenge is definitely definitely mimics that.
Well, it is amazing because we've had some, you know, ex-NFL players. We've had basketball. I mean, they've been throughout the years and years, different people. And they're just like, holy cow, this is tough. But let's talk about football tough, because it's a different type of tough. I mean, especially this season, people. I mean, we'll get to that in a minute. But how did you train growing up in high school and then college?
Yes. Well, I'll tell you what. You know, let me get comfortable for this one.
Okay, perfect. I love it.
Because in high school, we did camp, obviously summer camp, but we practiced 2 to 3 times a day. in the heat. You know, it was a lot different. I don't want to say back in my day because I'm not that old. I don't have gray yet. but you know, when I was younger, going through high school and college, you know, it was very rigorous. I played offensive line and defensive line in high school and college. So, you know, when you're in those trenches, there's no backseats. You know, you gotta get in it. You're in it. And, it's a lot of footwork. It's a lot of strength training. It's a lot of core training, Olympic movements. You'll see a lot of Olympic movements in CrossFit. For example, hang cleans, power cleans, a lot of bench, squat, deadlift. You see a lot of bench, squat, and deadlift, especially in the CrossFit world, because you need those extra muscles. You need those compound movements to help you move around.
So what would be a typical day? I know you played high school and college. So compare the two. What would be a typical day of practice and training in high school and then college that steps it up?
Well, I'm just
2 to 3 times a day where you actively, I know nowadays they don't use pads and hit throughout the week in the pros much to keep safe and everyone healthy. But how would you do that?
Right. That was definitely in college. You know, in high school, it wasn't really, we just did the 2-a-days, and that was basically, you know, we were teenagers, you know, you're talking about young kids, so you're not really doing rigorous training. You know, it didn't really get rigorous until I got to college. A day in the life in college, you wake up at 5:30 in the morning. 5:30 in the morning, you're supposed to be down at the field house and on the field at 6:45 a.m. So
you lost me already at 5:30.
Yeah, you're right. Right, exactly. So you know, and this would be like, you know, summertime, you know. So on the field at 6:45, you know, in half pads. Normally it would be half pads, so just helmets and shoulder pads. 6:45 until probably about 9 for the first practice. You go back and breakfast or brunch. Lunch is at 11. You break from 11 to about 1:30, 2 o'clock. You're right back on the field for that afternoon practice. You practice from 2 to, I say, about 4:30, 5 o'clock. You finish that afternoon practice with sprints. And then then after the evening practice, you go to dinner. Then after dinner, you will have your film session, probably about 7:30, 8 o'clock. Have your film session from 8 to 9:30, and lights out at 10 to do it again the same day tomorrow.
I mean, talk about Groundhog Day. So that was in the summer. I always think, because I went to college and had fun, I was on the team of the sorority and probably, you know, maybe a workout, a run twice a week. Yeah.
Right.
It wasn't pretty. But how did you balance studies with all that? Because I know during the school year, I'm assuming they gave you time for your studies and you had to go to class.
Yeah. So yeah. It was, you know, one thing that I want everybody to know, you know, everybody who watches you and you know, being a student athlete is about sacrifice. You know, you did not have a social life. You know, let me not say that. I don't want to say that you didn't have a social life, but when people were hanging out, you weren't. You were preparing for practice the following morning because you had to be up at 6 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning. You didn't do a whole lot of drinking because alcohol atrophies your muscles, and you spend the entire week working out and getting strong and getting buff to then go out and drink on a Thursday or Friday night, and your game is on Saturday, and you'll be toast for Saturday morning. Let's put it that way. So you had to get it done. And, you know, I graduated with honors. You know, I graduated with a 3.4, you know, with a major and a minor. And I was the captain of my team. So there was no, you know, going back home, there was no, look, you're playing football, so you get a pass on your grades. No, it was like, if you want to play football, you better get those grades. So I have very, you know, two loving parents who made sure that, you know, if I wanted to have fun and play a game and enjoy the sport, then I had to do the work in order to make it happen.
Which is so great to hear, because you do hear a lot of times, oh, he played football or, you know, any sport, and oh, the teachers kind of let him. But I don't really think that happened a lot, maybe way, way back. But I, especially now, those kids there, it's like you did. It is regimented.
Yeah, it's not, you know, the way things are now, the way things have become, there is no more being swept up under the rug, because now you have athletes who want to become businessmen and businesswomen. And you start sweeping that financial education or that historical education or that social education under the rug, then when it's time for you to use that historical fact or that mathematical fact or that social fact, you're not going to have that. So, you know, no, it was there was school and my school work. Student became before athlete, and you know, a student became before athlete in my household as well as in school. So, you know, I would not have been able to be an athlete were I not a good student.
So let's talk. I have so much to talk to you about. Captain of the team.
Yes.
You're a leader. I know you. That's your persona. You are confident. Aww. And he's really a big teddy bear too, but
you're
confident and you're so all around.
Yes.
In so many departments. But what did you learn from being the captain, and how hard was that? I mean, you had to lead the team besides the coaches.
I became captain when I was a senior. So for 3.5-4 years, as I played, you know, my fifth year senior, for 3.5-4 years, I'm, you know, messing around with my boys, with my teammates, you know, with the guys who were a captain. You know, I'm messing with them like, whatever. We're not listening to the captain, blah, 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 whatever. We're not running hard. And then the year I became captain, I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to now get the entire team, because now I'm, you know, the offensive lineman, I'm the captain. I'm, you know, now everybody knows me. So now I've got to get this entire team to now, one, perform and perform well, because I don't want to look bad, one, and I want to win. I want a championship. And what that did, that showed me how to separate management, how to be a good manager. You can be a good manager and a good friend and not mix the two. But you also have to lead by example. You know, when it was, I'll never forget, I'll tell you a quick story. We had, you know, it was the middle of summer, and all the linemen watching this know what monkey rolls are. You know, if you get on a 5-man sled, and just to put it plainly and make it quick, it's a 5-man sled. You start with one man on the first mat. You hit that dummy. You roll on your butt and you do it again, and you do it again until all five of you have now hit the mat all at the same time. So it's probably a 90-degree-plus Long Island, New York summer, very hot. It feels like the sun is like right there staring at you. So our former Marine of a coach, Frank Lamani, says, okay, who's going first? And everybody starts humbling, grumbling. I don't know if I can do this. And all I could think of was, you know, my uncle is very pivotal in my life. And my uncle said, you know what, you have to be the one to get out there and show them that you love it. You have to get out there and be the one to show them that you're crazy enough to get out there and in the heat and do it and love it. And I hear my uncle, and I'm like, when coach says again, who wants to go? I'm like, I do. He's like, Huey, you want to go? I'm like, yeah, I want to go. But, you know, long story short, through that effort, we became the only undefeated team in our school's history. We won a championship that year. The only undefeated school in our undefeated team in our school's history. You know, I played Division II, but, you know, I still won championships. So, you know, a win is a win is a win.
Heck yeah. No, I know. I was reading that on your bio and I was like, what was that like? I don't care if you're, you know, an SEC school, Long Island University, whatever. It's championship.
Yeah.
And what was that like? And holding that record of being undefeated still.
It's surreal. It's surreal because not many NFL players get championships. Not many college players win a ring. Not many players win a ring, period. Whether it be no matter what of the three levels you're in, high school, college, or pro, not many people win. And I was able to win a championship in high school, and I was able to win two championships in college. And it was I'm even getting chills right now thinking about it, because I'll tell you what it taught me, or what it showed me. For a while when I graduated, I didn't want to go to an NFL game. And I didn't want to go to an NFL game because I didn't make it pro myself. And I was kind of salty. I'm like, man, I wanted to be pro, and, you know, it would have been fun, and da da da. And, you know, not everybody goes pro, but we all have aspirations. So one day, one of my boys says, hey, you want to go to a Giants game? I'm a New Yorker, so I'm a Giants fan. So I said, yeah, why not? We'll go to a Giants game, you know, have a couple of drinks and have some food and enjoy the game. I get to the game, and I thought I was going to not have a good time, and I thought I was just going to be a little bit dejected. And they scored a touchdown, and I heard the crowd roar. And I was like, wait a minute. I've heard that before, because it was the same roar when I was in college when we won. When we won championships, or when we won big games, or when we scored. So I was like, oh, I didn't miss anything. I experienced this. I mean, maybe it wasn't 110,000 people. It was probably 30,000, but hey, I still experienced it. Whatever.
That's interesting to me that you didn't. I mean, I could see why you didn't want to go. You know, I was not an athlete in high school. I was the pom-pom cheerleader. But this is going to sound so silly, but a lot of times I tried out once and didn't make it in college. And then I was like, well, should I try it again? And I guess my point is, it was fine for me. I had fun in high school, you know, all of that. In college, I went on to other things, but you have to want it in high school and college. You have to want it. I'm competitive in a lot of things in life, but sports is not one of them, because I'm not very athletic in that sense.
Yeah.
But how did you keep that drive of you just wanted it? High school football, your high school and college football All-American. How did you keep that going? And how do you keep it going in everyday life now?
It's good questions, Maria. Those are some good questions.
HG will answer those questions and more next week, so stay tuned. And now a quick little Maria's Minute. My glasses always half full. HD's glasses full. Have fun this weekend. Watch some football and maybe just take time to relax with your loved ones. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.